they're going to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because as long as they still have that passion and they still have that drive, they're fans. And really, that's isn't that the whole point?
I would say that's exactly the point. And what do you think? I mean, what do you think, though, drove this? You say it's been in the last 10 years. I mean, do you think that technology finally broke the threshold, or do you think it's finally the fans overwhelmed the battlements and basically took the castle?
Well, this is the analogy that I use, and I've written about this before, and I've spoken about this before, and the B-sides to In the Name of the Moon have me talking about this for a great length. There's a disconnect in a lot of fandom that I started seeing around 2009 to 2011, and it really got big in like 2012 or so. There's a disconnect between generations, and there's one generation that practices things one way and they're used to it. And then you have the Tumblr generation, the generation that's more in that came up in the fandom through the sharing of images, the sharing of memes, the sharing of catchphrases, the generation that didn't sit and argue on newsgroups or forums, but rather indulged their fandom with other fans who came up at the same time. Evan Minto, who writes for Anagamers, wrote a lovely article on his website in 2012 that talked about how anime fandom has failed to proselytize and how anime fandom has failed to adapt to meet the needs of a changing community. One of the things that he brings up is that fans were left to their own devices. And because the older generation doesn't sit down and try to engage with the younger generation, it left a disconnect. The younger generation wants to be fans. They want to practice their fandom. They don't have a mentor in the older generation to give that to them. So they made one for themselves. Fans are enterprising, especially the young millennials today who grew up with massive amounts of technology, who grew up with the internet as being part of their lives. I mean, I remember when the internet was a novelty. I didn't get my first email address until I was 16, and I didn't get internet access until I was 20. So internet was a novelty for me, and I'm still used to the old ways. And I keep forgetting that there are a bunch of kids that are 10 years younger than me, more than 10 years younger than me, where the internet is what they know. They brought their own aesthetic to the table. They constructed their own fandom identity around that aesthetic. And I love that, because when they couldn't get to practice their fandom, or they couldn't get a way in, they just built they built their own ladders, and they just jumped in on their own, using technology, using each other, using their own form of community, and using their own method of engagement. And I love that that was a thing. And I love that we live in a society where that is how things can get done. Where if you can't get in the old fashioned way, you throw your own party. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I love that technology was co-opted in that way, and I love that technology has allowed us to share our passion much quicker and allowed us to build these new inroads into practice.
But that brings us, though, I'd say, to the other end of that coin, to the millennial, to the internet generation, to all of them, which is, you know, the very controversial issue of piracy and IP.
Yeah.
And you were there. I understand, you know, when this was, you know, when this thing was just an emergent thing. And I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And I mean, you know, as being one who's been on both sides, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Piracy was the shot in the arm that at least the music industry needed. Because I remember music in the early 2000s. I remember, and I love how, I think it was Carson Daly, but I'm not sure, said a lot of records these days are one hit song and 10 tracks of filler to justify that one hit. I remember buying albums that had one good song on them and a load of crap. And because the industry had discontinued CD singles, you had to buy the album. And I was there when, as a college student, I downloaded Napster so I could download that one song, save my money, and not have to spend it on a crappy album. I think in terms of music, piracy was the shot in the arm, because after the whole thing shot forward, the labels began to realize that they could not dictate what was popular. It gave a lot of power to the indie artist. It gave an enormous amount of power to the consumer. And while the record labels resisted, they learned eventually that they can't discount their fans. And music got really, really good after that. The album came back, and some of the best stuff, I remember like the mid-aughts, was being put out by the large indie labels. Victory put out a bunch of good stuff. Epitaph put out a bunch of good stuff. Drive-Thru, I think, was dead by that point, but Drive-Thru was putting out a lot of good stuff. And you were starting to see the consumer having power, and it changed the future. In terms of music, it was the greatest thing that ever happened, and while its repercussions were far-reaching and incredibly, like, they caused enormous upheaval, it still improved the quality of the experience. When it comes to anime, I've written about it before. I don't do scanlations, and I don't agree with that. But when it comes to anime, it again, at least in my opinion, got the industry to stop saturating the market and pay attention. One of the greatest things that ever happened for me was the Funimation Net channel. Being able to watch shows on Hulu, being able to watch shows on streaming services, and then determine that's what I want. The fact that I could try before I buy got me to buy more stuff, and it got my friends to buy more stuff. Once they started settling in and the IP started going both ways and the industry started listening to the fans, I did a great thing, at least for me. That's about all I'm going to say about anime, because there is still upheaval in anime and there is still a lot of crazy stuff going on in the anime industry. I don't particularly like how the benchmark for a successful series can be 3,000 box sets. I really don't like that that's a thing, and that was something that was told to me at Otakon a few years ago. But it is a delicate balancing act. I like simulcasting. I like the use of Hulu. I love the use of Netflix, but at the same time, I've got to ask the question, how does this help the industry? And that's a whole other can of worms that I don't feel that I'm qualified to talk about. All I know is that the streaming thing isn't really great for music right now.
Indeed so. I mean, do you think that also, like the music industry, this will eventually improve the product delivery, that finally anime is going to do that? Because, I mean, with the downloading thing, I mean, many people get box sets and they get the Blu-ray edition and they love the HD and everything, but, you know, we're a mobile culture and it's very difficult to take some of these on the road. Or there are many companies that, you know, you buy the print version, but you want the digital version as well, and you got to make two different purchases. And so many people would say, well, I'd rather get the scanlations and have that on my mobile device, and I'll buy the print version. And yeah, I got two different versions. One's a bit more inferior than the other, but at least I'm getting the content I want.
The problem I have with scanlations is that people who talk about print version, you know what? Just buy the damn book, or go to the library and get them to buy the damn book, because books are mobile and you can carry them anywhere. I never indulged in the scanlation market because I could just go to the comic shop, support the company. I could go to the library and read it in the library. And I'm a big fan in terms of the book market of supporting that particular thing. When it comes to the video market, I think piracy already had a great impact in increasing availability of the shows to the general public. Simulcasting, Netflix, the legitimization of Crunchyroll, I think that in many respects was a response to piracy. And now the argument that you can't get it that it's too hard to get access to the show, I don't think that applies much anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think Funimation did a good job with that one. I also like Funimation's model because they're able to – I love their discounted box sets and I love things like that. Aniplex goes the collector's route. Aniplex makes it where you want to buy the collector's edition, so you get all this other stuff you wouldn't get otherwise. And I like what Sentai does because Sentai has very modest goals that they almost always achieve. So I think you're seeing in a world where piracy has had its impact, the companies evolving their business models. The Japanese business model didn't work, and then Bandai went down. the license everything at top dollar response didn't work, and then you lost things like Genyon and ADV. Tokyo Pop made a lot of bad decisions with regards to distribution, and they had to restructure. I think we're living in a world where already we're seeing the impact of what piracy had on the industry, and now you can queue up a legal Crunchyroll app and watch it. You can, or I get most of my anime through Netflix. I love how Netflix has all the shows I want to see.